Happy Sabbath. So nice to see all of you here, especially the new faces and lots of visitors. Daniel, is this too loud? Is that better? Okay. How many of you have noticed that time is flying by very fast? I mean, I can't believe it's already September 25th. Seems like just yesterday was the first. Time is flying by very fast, and the older I get, the faster it seems that time is flying. I mean, I remember when I was 7 years old, and it seemed like a year was like forever. When am I going to be eight? And now I'm 26, and it seems like I'm going to be 30 pretty soon. And it's a scary thought that time is flying by very fast. You know, I remember when I was younger and thinking, man, I wonder when am I going to have children? And now I have a daughter, and she's growing. She's already 18 months old. And I just want to share a little bit about Jasmine, the things that she does that gives me joy. The topic this morning is joyful Christians. But before I begin, I want to say one more word of prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Father in heaven, as I present the topic right now, I pray that you would please speak through me. And touch each and every one of our hearts. Help us to understand and help us to gain a blessing from the message today. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide our service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of the most happy times are when Jasmine is eating. It's so interesting. I mean, you put her food in front of her and give her a spoon and she'll try it for a little bit, but the spoon isn't good enough, so she gets in with her hands. And you'd think she has taste buds on her fingers. I mean, she gets into it and she, you know, at first she's kind of careful and puts it in her mouth good, a little bit falls on the ground. But then pretty soon you see her just grabbing the whole plate and dumping it on her face. And she just wants to get this food in her mouth. And if that's not good enough, sometimes she'll rub it in her hair and I mean, she knows how to eat. And we were, you know, a lot of people tell me, oh, you have a little girl. Well, make the best of that time because pretty soon she's going to be all grown up. And so I think, okay, I'm going to listen to what these people tell me. And so I've been watching Jasmine a lot. As Jing is in school full time, I'm the babysitter. And rightly so, I'm her father. And so one day, she was bored in the house. I said, let's go outside and let's go get some coconuts down from that tree and we're going to open the coconuts and eat them. And Jasmine is so excited. She wants to do something new. And so I put her shoes on and took her by the coconut tree, and it's a short coconut tree. And I said, you stay right here. And I grabbed my machete and I chopped two coconuts down and I let her try to carry it. She couldn't carry it. So I helped her and we put it down and I started chopping the coconut. And she was watching very intently. Watching me open this coconut, and a little piece of coconut fell on the ground, and she grabbed it and ate it. And I was thinking, how did she even know that was edible? And, you know, I think she loves fruit, and she must have seen me eat coconut before or whatever, but, you know, this is a little side note, but I look up to mothers. And you would never know what it's like to have a child until you have one. You have no idea. You think it's, you know, whatever you think, I don't know, but it's when you have a child, it's going to be way different than what you thought. And I really look up to mothers. Every single mother in here, I respect, and God gave mothers the most important job that anybody could ever be given. If mothers were to earn a salary, they would all be millionaires. I mean, it would be the highest paying job. And so God will definitely bless the mothers. So this morning, I want to be talking about joy, joyful Christians. What is joy? How do we receive joy? And we'll be talking about not just joy, but the joy that comes from having a relationship with Jesus. Joy is the echo that God is in us. If you look at Psalms chapter 19 and verse 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So how many of you this morning would like to have the joy of the Lord? I know I would. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, Psalms 16:11. And if we look at Psalms 119, verse 162, a lot of my scriptures come from the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Have you ever found treasure before? Anybody? Have you ever found money before? It's pretty exciting, huh? Free money. It says here that I rejoice at thy word as one that found great treasure. When we are to rejoice in the word as one that found great treasure. And if we don't share the gems of God's word, what happens? When you find something interesting in the Bible, if I call up my friend Kevin and share it with him, I will remember that for a very long time. But if I don't share it with anybody, the next few moments, I forgot already what did I find in the Bible. And I just found this little story. It illustrates what I'm trying to talk about. A man once dreamed that he was walking in a vast desert when he heard a voice, "Pick up some pebbles and put them in your pocket. Tomorrow you will be both sad and glad." So he picked up a handful of pebbles and put them in his pocket. And the next morning he reached into his pocket and found precious diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And as foretold, he was both sad and glad. He was happy that he had taken some, but sad that he hadn't taken more. And this is how it is with God's word. We were happy when we open the Bible and we read a little bit, sad that we don't read more. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 9 to 12. As the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So how does God speak to us? We speak to God through prayer, and God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us through nature. But I think the most, the scriptures, the Bible, God speaks to us through the Bible. And the more we feed on his word, the more joyful we will be, because the Bible is full of precious promises. The Bible is full of treasures. Another time that Jasmine is really joyful is when we have our family worship. She loves to sing. And not just any songs, but she likes to sing the songs with hand motions. He's able, this little light of mine. And we, you know, when we say this little light of mine, don't let Satan it out. And she loves that. And I think that family worship should be a time of joy, not a time to be dreaded, yeah? So we keep it simple. We like to read from Bible stories. It makes the stories alive, and she really enjoys it a lot. And I think about when Jesus was here on earth and he was speaking to the people, I bet it was a time of joy. You know, he had so many people surrounding him. They weren't paying admissions to hear him speak, but yet they were listening so intently, and I believe that the way he spoke just really was interesting. He must have made it a time of joy, and that's how it should be. I want to make something clear that happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is something that happens to you, whereas joy is something that happens in you. Happiness can be changed by circumstances. You know, you could be happy one moment and then somebody cuts you off and all of a sudden you're not happy anymore. You're like, just like that, your happiness is gone. But joy is something that remains inside of you, that no matter what you're going through, you will be happy. You can have the joy of the Lord. I recently thought I lost my phone. I was doing a yard way out in Pipiquio, and after I finished doing the yard, I got in my car, and I'm looking around. I actually started driving down the road. I'm like, okay, where's my phone? I drove back. I'm thinking, okay, I can't leave here until I find my phone. And I asked the owner if he could call my phone so I could find it. Call my wife. Do you see my phone anywhere? Did I leave it at home? I couldn't get a hold of her. So I started searching the bushes. I walked around the house. I searched everywhere. I couldn't find it. And I tell you, I was not happy anymore. I was happy that I finished the yard, but I was not happy that I lost my phone. And I just was having a struggle. And I was having a hard time. And I was saying, Lord, you know where my phone is. I'm going to trust in you that you help me to find it. Please help me to be happy. Help me to have peace. So I retraced my steps. I went to all the stores I went to. I told the cashiers, please pray for me. I lost my phone. My name is Josh. Pray for me. And they said, okay, I will do that. And finally, I got a hold of Jing after about 10 phone calls. And she says, your phone is home. And I said, wow, praise the Lord. I said really loud, my phone is home. All of a sudden, I had joy again. I was happy again. And I was thinking, why is it that one moment I'm happy and the next moment I'm sad? It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way, yeah? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This is a very important verse. If you could turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's a hard to find verse after Colossians. It says, rejoice always. Is this an invitation or is this a command? How many of you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. But actually, if you look in Greek, it's three words. So the shortest verse in the Bible is actually rejoice always. And very important, rejoice always. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is telling us to rejoice. And we can choose to rejoice regardless of our circumstances, regardless if your phone is missing. I never realized how important my phone was. All of my phone numbers on it, all of everything, that's my life. And it was gone. But we are to rejoice always. Much of the New Testament was written by Paul, who spent much of his time in prison or in jail. And if you notice, a lot of the letters that he wrote begin with the words, rejoice always. Or give thanks, or I thank God. Paul says, in whatsoever state I am content. Yeah? He knew how to be content in whatever situation he was in, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was cold, whether he was hungry, whether he was happy. And Paul knew how to practice what he preached. This is what I want. I want to be able to practice what I'm preaching to you today. Joy is a positive attitude that we choose to express. I cannot choose to be strong, but I can choose to be joyful. And when I'm willing to do that, joy will follow. So happiness comes from what happens to you. Joy comes from what happens within you. Recently, I've been building a house on 13th Street, and I've been trying to get the plumbing done for over 3 months. And I'm a very anxious person. When I start on a project, when I hire somebody to do a project, I want it to get done fast. And it was dragging on and on and on and on, and my plumber went to the mainland. And here in Hawaii, you cannot do anything unless you have a license. You cannot touch the plumbing. You cannot even call the inspector unless you have a license. And I decided I'm going to do the plumbing. And so my dad helped me, and I paid my dad to help me. And we started doing the plumbing, and I got a hold of the plumber. He called the inspector, and it was failed. A few minor things. I fixed them, and then I wanted, okay, I'm done. I want to call the inspector. I couldn't. I went down to the county. I complained. I want my project to get done. It's completed. I'm sorry, your plumber has to call. Couldn't get a hold of him. I was not happy anymore, and I was like really having a hard time trusting in God at this point. I was like almost in a rage, you could say. I'm just ready to fire my plumber. I'm ready to just, And finally, I got a hold of him. No problem. I'll call the inspector tomorrow morning. It'll be done. And I was just rejoicing after that, from angry to happy. And I was thinking, man, this is, why am I like this? Why am I so like a wave of the sea. And I was just thinking, do I have the joy of the Lord in my heart? That no matter what happens to me, I will rejoice always. And the answer was no, I don't have the joy of the Lord. And I want the joy of the Lord. Jesus sang before the cross. He knew he was going to be crucified, but yet he called his disciples together and they sang. Daniel prayed and he gave thanks before the lion's den. Would you be able to do that? You're about to be thrown into a cave full of hungry lions and you're giving God thanks? It's easy to say yes, but when you're in that situation, what are you going to do? I want to have this kind of abiding joy that cannot be altered by circumstances. John D. Rockefeller, have you heard of him? He was strong and husky as a youth, and he was early determined to be rich. He drove himself to the limit. At age 33, he earned his first million. At age 43, he controlled the world's largest company. At age 53, he was the world's richest man, the only billionaire. But he developed a sickness called alopecia, where your eyebrows fall out, your eyelashes, your hair falls out. And the people in the papers, they said that he looked like a shrunken mummy. And this hurt his feelings. At this point, he was earning $1 million a week. But he could only eat milk and crackers because of his stomach ulcers caused by stress. And he was so hated in Pennsylvania that he had to have bodyguards 24/7. And he could not sleep. He stopped smiling. He was unhappy. And the doctors predicted that he would not live another year. And one of these sleepless nights, he thought, you know what? When I die, what's all my money going to, it's just going to do what? I'm not going to take any money with me to the next life. So the next morning, he called his son. And he said, you got to help me give my money away. And actually, a pastor said, if you don't start giving your money away, it's going to, like an avalanche, it will crush you. And he and his son spent much time trying to think, how are we going to give all this money away? I mean, what a problem to have. I wouldn't mind having that problem. How about you? Having so much money, you don't know what to do with it all. So he helped establish many churches. He helped discover penicillin. He helped, he established many medical facilities. He did many good things with his money. He made a choice to be joyful, and his public relations turned around. People liked him. And the doctors predicted he wouldn't live to be 54 years old. He lived to be 98 years old. And so the righteous will rejoice. He decided to do what was righteous, what was right. And he rejoiced. John chapter 15, verse 10. Let's look at that. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I want to make something clear, that we cannot abide in the joy of the Lord when we are in rebellion to him. It's not possible. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them that also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And Psalms 32:11, let's look at that one. Psalms chapter 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalms 51, 7 and 8. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I think Lowell made a comment this morning in Sabbath school. Did David feel joy and gladness when he stole Bathsheba and killed Uriah? He didn't feel joy and gladness. That's why he was asking for forgiveness, that his joy might return to him. How many of you have experienced this before, that when you know you have committed sin, you've done something wrong, you've disappointed the Lord, so you go on your knees and you ask, Lord, please forgive me for my sin, I'm sorry for my sins, and then God restores unto you the joy of salvation. It's a promise. And it's true, it happens. God will restore unto us the joy of salvation. I feel the most joyful when I know that my sins are forgiven. Psalm 68, verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Psalms 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfills all thy petitions. So it's when we have experienced salvation that we really rejoice. And we know that we are only saved by Jesus. D.L. Moody says, happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it, like losing your phone or not having your way with a plumbing situation or whatever you may be going through in your life. Circumstances will mar your happiness. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows through the dark. Joy flows through persecution and opposition. It is a fountain bubbling up in the heart. It is a spring the world cannot see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. How many of you believe this? Luke says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy when you are persecuted. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. If you could please turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is a very interesting Bible verse. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. What? Blessed are you? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Do you rejoice when you're persecuted? The Bible says rejoice. We can rejoice. When the 12 apostles were arrested and they were put in prison and they were whipped by the Sanhedrin, what did they do? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. When you got the joy of the Lord, no matter what happens to you, the devil cannot take it away. In Belgium, there's a convent of monks of the Trappist order. And here in this convent, they shave their heads, they grow their beards out, they sleep on hard boards, they eat sour milk and vegetables. They're not allowed to talk. And every morning they go to their garden and they stare at an open grave that they know awaits the first of them that will die. And when that happens, they'll dig another grave. What? What kind of a view is this? How many of you would want to go to this monastery? Have you ever met Christians like this before? They think that there's something holy in that kind of austerity. And just, you know, so serious and they don't smile. Serve the Lord. It's a drudgery to serve the Lord, but I'm going to do it because he says to. Serving the Lord should be something that's joyful, that should give us joy. And there's a whole list of people. You know, living like this does not win souls, does it? People are attracted to what kind of people? Joyful and happy people. They say, why are you so joyful? I want to have that kind of joy too. And you can share. Well, I'm joyful because Jesus loves me. You know, there's a whole list of great people who might have become Christians, like Gandhi. He lived in England. He studied the Bible. And he and a number of others said that they might have taken up Christianity based on the teachings of Jesus. But so many so-called Christians that they knew acted like undertakers or heathens. And so I'm hoping that when people come to our church and they see that the way we are acting, that we portray the joy of the Lord. I admit, I'm a hypocrite. Oftentimes, I'm a hypocrite. I'll be driving down the road, And somebody pulls in front of me and goes so slow, and my smile turns into a frown, and I'm eyeing people out, and I'm like, man, if people looked at me, what would they think of me? They wouldn't think that I'm a Christian. They think, who's this mean guy behind me? And it's so true. How many of you can agree with me? We are advertising for Jesus by the way we act. Not only the way we act, but the way we dress, the way we eat. We're advertising. Are we attractive by our disposition? You know, babies are so joyful. Jasmine is so joyful. I would advise you not to do this, but I took Jasmine to Kona the other day. Just me and her. We went to Costco. We went to some stores, and she was so happy and joyful, and we're walking through the store, and she's saying hi to everybody. Hi, hi. You know, doesn't matter what the people look like. She has no prejudice against anybody. She loves everybody. She's just joyful, and until she got a poopy diaper, and then she started getting really irritable, and that made it hard for me too. But by God's grace, I was able to endure, and we got home safely. God loves us, and God says we need to be like little children. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And little children are happy. They're very cheerful and joyful. Psalms 51, 12, and 13. This was our memory verse this morning. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So it's only when we have the joy of the Lord that we will be able to be a witness for others. John Wesley was sailing back from North America to England, and he was coming back from a missionary endeavor. He was preaching and teaching to the Indians of North America. And as he was coming back, he encountered a terrible storm, and the mast of his ship broke. And he was clinging onto the ship for his life. The sailors were crying out in fear, and he was scared to death. But yet, on this ship, there was a group of Christians who were singing, a father, a mother, and their several children were singing praises to the Lord. And he looked at them, and he said to himself, I am not converted. I am not ready to die. And he got safely back to England, and he began to study with this group that he had met on the ship, and he surrendered his life to God, and he was baptized. He also began to turn the world upside down. And it was only after he saw the joy in this family that's what transformed his life. So joy converts people. Joy is magnified when it is shared. There is joy in the presence of God and angels when one soul is converted. Amen. You know, off the topic, I was just thinking, I read this before, but one soul. Let me just explain to you the value of one soul. You know, we see a lot of people in the world, they're prisoners in jail, and maybe they were murderers, and we think, man, that person is not very valuable. But that one murderer in prison is more valuable than all the gold and all the silver and all the jewels in the world heaped up into a pile. That one person is more valuable. So how should we treat one another? There is joy in the presence of God when one soul is converted. There are people who see your joy and you don't even know it. People are watching you all the time and you may not even know it until maybe one day you get to heaven and they say, thank you for giving me that smile. You changed my life. Not only is God inviting us to have the joy of the Lord, not only do we need to experience the joy of the Lord, but when we do not have the joy of the Lord, we rob people of this experience. We have an obligation to reflect the joy of Jesus to others. Amen? So first of all, it is the righteous that rejoice. So let us come to Jesus and invite Jesus into our hearts that we may rejoice. I invite you all to accept Jesus. And the Bible says that there is joy in the salvation of God. and you'll rejoice when you know that your sins are covered. Blessed is that man. We are commanded to rejoice. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for opening your word this morning, for showing us that it is the righteous that rejoice. And Father, we all want to be righteous and we want to all have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. So please give us this joy that passes understanding. Give us a joy that no matter what trials or whatever our situation may be, whatever the situation of the world is, that we can be happy and know that you are in control. Guide us and bless us throughout the rest of this day. May we not forget the words that we heard today. And help us to smile for you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we have our communion Sabbath 4 times a year. And we're going to be having a foot washing in the back room. And during that time, we're going to have a children's story in here. So the children and can stay in here for the children's story. It's going to be given by Miss Mariama. Jill, Mrs. Mariama, and after that we'll do the bread and the wine. So at this time we may be dismissed to the back.